It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's Labor Day weekend. Where did the summer go? Big shout out to my running friends who did the race to the top of Vermont last Sunday. We had a great time. It's kind of a slightly shorter version of the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race. And like Mount Washington Road Race, where funds from that race go to the oral health in the North Country, funds from the Mount to the Run to the Top of Vermont go to Vermont Head Start Tooth Tutor Program. Also, upcoming on Labor Day, if you're listening to this on Saturday or Sunday, there's still time to sign up. On Monday, you can do the St. Charles Road Race, which is in the Seacoast, which is raises money for the orphanage. But with me this weekend are two of the all-time great coaches, male coaches in New Hampshire soccer. That is Coach George Pinkham from Bow, who is ranked either fifth or sixth in all-time wins in New Hampshire, and also the Concord head coach, Scott Dunlap, who is probably around 17th or 18th. And Scott and George, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know you're, George has already played one game, and Scott, you're about to, so I know you're, it's a busy time of year. So thank you for joining me this weekend.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. So let's start, George, let's start with your background. I mean, obviously you've coached for many years, to be precise, about 34 years from 1986 on, first at Concord, and then Scott succeeded you, and then when Bow became a high school. So tell us about your background, then I'll ask about Scott.
I can go back to the dinosaur ages.
Let's do it.
Of the 60s.
Let's do it.
Do you remember Chuck Landry, who was the first Concord High coach? Well, he was coaching in Whitefield the second year he was out of Plymouth State.
Wow.
And I was a little seventh grader.
Jeez.
And he taught me the first
Picture you as a seventh grader, George, but
well, it was the crew cut days.
Okay.
So I was a little bit different.
Too funny.
And I was on the team for about two or three days. Why? Because Chuck put all the big boys on one end of the field and us little runts were on the other end. And so I kind of got upset and said, no way, I'm not going to play. And back then, you could play as a little seventh, eighth grader. But I grew to, when I came south, to really respect Chuck a lot as a person, as a teacher. But that was just a funny story about him, that people knew him as being actually the Concord High's first soccer coach. But he was my seventh grade coach, so I go back that far.
And then you coached at Concord, and then when Bow became its own high school, tell us how you developed that program.
I was lucky in that I had it right away, you know, the first year, probably five, six players that I had the previous year at Concord High that were Bow kids. And so a lot of schools that open their program early for the first year struggle because they don't have that luxury. They're really starting from scratch. That first year, no, we were a playoff team and continued in that vein through. But I've just been blessed for years, you know, with talented players.
Yeah, you always told me that the pipeline's important. So, Scott, come closer to the microphone and tell us. I know you succeeded George at Concord, and you also played high school soccer, obviously, and college soccer. So tell us what your experience has been. And, of course, you've also won three Division I championships, which is pretty compelling because it is so competitive, as candidly is Division II. But tell us your background.
Well, I grew up in Northfield, New Hampshire, and I played for Winsquam Regional High School for Chuck Wyman. And from there, I went to New Hampshire Technical Institute and played college soccer there for Bill Miller. And then from there, I went on to Notre Dame College in Manchester and play there as well.
And I remember Notre Dame College in Manchester.
Which is now defunct back, I think, 17 years ago. So after that, I was a graduate assistant there for a year. And then I was 2 years an assistant at NHTI with Bill Miller. And then I transitioned to Concord High in 1997 and taking over for George.
So continuing on with you, Scott. So Division One, I mean, and Division Two are really competitive. But I know that you know, both of you would say that having a pipeline of players that play in the club and having just a culture of communities, you know, that are into soccer is important. But What are some of your secrets to success beyond that?
Well, it's just being gifted with talent from the players that we haven't conquered. We have a great, you know, feeder system right now around the state and the club-wise. We have the Express Soccer Club here, which now is Seacoast Express. And we have a lot of players who are playing other clubs beyond the capital area. And they're getting a lot of experience and exposure in playing high-level competition. And that benefits us well when they come back to us in the fall.
And I met James and the others from the Seacoast, and I'm glad to see how robust that program is. And they're also getting into other sports, including baseball, which is actually my real secret passion. So, George, back to you. So, Bo has gone from like Division III to two, back to three to two. So, what do you just maybe explain to the listening audience the difference between Division II and III? And of course, we know that you can have a very talented Division III team that could compete. It's just maybe the depth
and a number of teams, competitive teams. In Division III, each year I could pretty much predict top four teams, five teams. They're the same programs every year that really breed success. They've bred success. And so I think from what Scott had said previously about talent, I think a big part of it also that helps you is success, where kids will see success in your program, whether it be soccer or baseball, basketball, and that helps you and helps the confidence level with players that they're coming into and participating in a successful program. Not necessarily a championship every year, but at least competitive. That's, what's happened in Bow, and I know it's happened in Concord. Scott's done that in Concord.
Yeah, I love following the teams and a lot of the Concord games are televised, so if I can't catch a game live, I actually see it on TV. Why do you think, this is kind of a generic question for both of you, like some schools like Cole Brown are known for cross country, and like other towns are known for football, American football, and other towns for soccer. Why do you think that is? It is like a leader, a coach comes in, establishes the pipeline, and like you say, then people want to, stay. I mean, people are attracted to success, I think.
I think you hit it on the head with the coaches. A lot of the programs that struggle, they're changing coaches either every year or two or three. Nobody is really there to grab, the program and say, let's, we got to make something of this. We got to be competitive. Some of your premier programs in the state, again, whether it be soccer or other sports, it's usually a coach that has been there at least 10, 15, 20 years. The reputation is there, and he's built a program, or she, because there's some outstanding, of course, female coaches in the state too. So again, kids see that, parents see that too. And I think it's important that in athletics, high school athletics, the role that parents play, because they are a big part of it.
Absolutely. So, Scott, as you look forward to a Division I schedule this year, I know like last couple years, Manchester Central was the runner-up. They've lost two tough games. Bedford obviously is going to continue to be tough. Who do you see are the biggest competitors to winning the overall championships? And I realize there is a slight component of luck always and injuries and things like that, but if knowing what you don't know today, who would be like the top five in Division I beyond Concord?
Well, the two that you mentioned, Central and Bedford, are going to always be in the conversation, along with Hanover. They have a very strong side and a traditional program from back into the 60s. They always have a strong team each year. They're always in contention. They're always pushing for the Final Four and knocking on the door of championships. I think the second year they came into Division One,
they made the final game, right?
They won the state championship. They lost the first year they came in the final, and then in the second year they won the state championship. So they have such consistency with Rob Grable and just their club program up there, the influence of Dartmouth College. It's ingrained in them, from the very beginning.
And before Rob, it was George Merrill, correct?
Yeah.
because he's right up there and right near Jim Tufts as far as overall wins. And Scott, not to put any pressure on you, but you and Rob are neck and neck in terms of total wins. So, but I believe you guys. I mean, seriously. So as we were preparing for the show, you guys said you really don't know the records. I actually believe you. But like when a baseball player says he doesn't know his average, I don't believe that. But with you guys, I do believe, because you know, and I know, I don't know if Rob is still keeping track of the records, but he's always like 1 year off or whatever. So
well, we'll get him to update those records at the end of the season.
And I know Rob very well, and he's also a minister, right, or something like that. So does that mean he can't swear on the soccer field?
I've never heard him swear in his life anyway.
Really?
Really?
That's good. And he could have coached at St. Ace, I guess. So let's tee it up, and we'll spend more time of this on this after commercial break. But I used to be a big hockey fan too, and I've noticed that high school level hockey isn't nearly as good as it was, let's say, 20 years ago, because of all the junior programs. And so, I obviously know clubs have come obviously to soccer, but I always say to parents who ask me, not that I'm any sort of expert, but I always felt like if your son or daughter is on a good soccer team, you know, senior year in high school, there's no better experience. And it seems like you miss that if you're on a club sport. But I also understand that if you're on a club sport, maybe you have a better opportunity to play in college. So what are your gentlemen's view on this, just in general, in terms of has it taken away from the quality of the soccer at the high school level? And when if a parent asked you, you know, if they had a talented son or daughter who was truly talented and worked, you know, what would your recommendation be?
The quality, no, but it has taken some of the more talented players that have decided to go academy. You clubs, GPS in particular, will work with you if you want to play high school soccer. They're not an academy program. Seacoast has their academy program where they have
to choose. That's what I meant, academy.
Yeah, they have to choose. It's either high school or academy. But you may see a little bit of a crack in the future. The president of the Coaches Association, National Coaches Association, just took office in the last month or two, and I cut out his letter to the membership where he is preaching high school soccer for the first time ever from that, you know, publication.
Wow, that's good to hear.
No, it is. And he lists a number of reasons why, and he says it's so important, which surprised me because, like I said, they've never done that before.
Wow.
And this is the president. And that it's so important for these kids, and that the U.S. has to find, the club, the academies have to find something that they can do to allow kids to participate in high school soccer.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Delta Radio. Tom Raffio with Scott Dunlop, the head coach of the Concord soccer team, and George Pinkham, who is the head coach of the Bow Boys soccer team. And we're having this very enjoyable conversation about soccer. And again, for my running friends, I hope to see you on Monday on Labor Day in the Seacoast to do the St. Charles run for the orphanage out there. So we were starting to talk about club soccer and the advice, you know, that you can give to a parent and to the athlete, him or herself. So you actually had a very personal situation, George, your grandson. So Scott, you and George, how did you advise George's grandson, Christopher?
Well, Chris played for us the first 2 years of high school, and then he came to the difficult decision of playing academy and felt that was the best environment for him to progress towards the college game and maybe beyond. And that was, you know, some of the discussions that we had with him, and supported him, you know, with his decision. Felt that, you know, we still wanted him at Concord High School to play. He was very talented, one of the best strikers I've ever had here at Concord High. And it was a tough decision for him to make, to give up his last 2 years of high school and go play academy, and thinking that was the best environment for him. And now he's at UNH and playing, and I think he played maybe half the time, most matches last year, and probably slated to start this year.
So in that case, it worked out, and then but there may be other cases where someone comes back to high school or.
Yeah, I've experienced that. I had that a number of years ago. Where I had four guys go play academy, and then three of them came back the next year. And out of that four, two of them only played college soccer. And, you know, one played at the very, very high level out of state, and the other one played within state.
Okay.
So there were some benefits to it and some drawbacks to it as well.
So, Coach Beacom, your thoughts on this?
Christopher, I was torn, to be honest with you, because I know Scott and the job he does, you know, with Concord High, and that I feel there was a problem with coaching. No, not at all. And I told him I would support him, of course, but was I pushing him towards academy? No. In fact, I believe it's very important, particularly in New Hampshire, for athletes to enjoy the high school experience. The camaraderie with the teams, the community, and, you know, be a part of it. I enjoy watching him, you know, go to the games at UNH and see him play. Do I think the academy helped him get to the UNH team? I think playing for another club team like GPS or Upper Valley, because he's such an outstanding athlete, would have allowed him to play as much as he's playing at UNH. With the academy team, what he faced was just better players at a little bit higher level. But there are some outstanding, as we've mentioned, playing at UNH now, that weren't academy kids.
And you were saying that the president of the soccer association or academy coaches had a kind of a interesting slant, a new slant, which is a little bit more pro high school.
Well, very much so. He wrote his introduction as the president of the association, and his headline was something along the line of let's get these kids playing high school soccer again. He really pushes. He said there's got to be a way that the academies and some of the clubs that mandate kids have to play one way or the other, get them, allowing them to play high school, and because of the experience they get. These kids that play academy, are they going to becoming MSL players? No, they're not. And as Scott said, I would say at least half of them are not going to play college. But they're looking at that as maybe a way to get to college, which unfortunately for them, they'll find out doesn't work all the time. So it's...
Yeah, we've got to find a way that the two systems can complement each other. Because obviously, if you look at it from a really overarching perspective, at least on the men's side, we really haven't done well internationally.
No, and that's it. The academy was put in place, whatever, years ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago.
2012 was the first year they implemented that.
Because U.S. soccer felt that... Go ahead and finish.
So in 2012, they implemented the choice that they had to make. Either you play high school or you commit fully to academy. And so I think that was implemented, I think, part of the Jurgen Klinsmann era, as looking going after that model after like what Europe and South America have, and see if they can implement that and hopefully raise our level of soccer awareness and level of play, which would translate to the senior national team.
So it's interesting because after I do this annual show with last year with George and Dave and this year with you, Scott, I always get a lot of calls from parents. And I always say, like, if you're on a good high school team, it doesn't necessarily have to win the state championship, you know, but if they're on a tournament-bound team, the senior year, which for most kids is the last year they're going to be playing competitive sports, can be one of the most joyful years both as a parent and as a son or daughter. So I always say, like, my view, maybe a little simplistic, if the athlete is good enough, he or she is going to make it to the college, whether he or she does the academy or plays high school. I always like, George, your comment. There are some athletes that play soccer, and then there are sort of pure soccer players, and there's really no one formula. So my observations and kind of following the scene since 1997 is that New Hampshire has a disproportionate level of talent in the soccer arena. And I know, like ODP a few years ago, Suleiman took a team to the final game. And I always felt like, even though population-wise, you know, we have a obviously less population than Massachusetts, that for some reason New Hampshire soccer players can, you know, can really compete. Is that my sort of subjective view, or do you think there is some validity in what I'm saying?
No, I think New Hampshire soccer players can play with anybody in the 50 states. Mark Hubbard at UNH, is in the couple of years he's been there, give him credit. He likes the New Hampshire kid. He's an Oyster River graduate, and he likes the New Hampshire kid. And there are, I know last year, there were at least three or four starters from New Hampshire. He knows what kind of player to look for. They're all, of course, club players, and a couple of them played academy, but they were born and bred and brought up in New Hampshire and played to a certain degree through junior high and into some high school, you know, in New Hampshire. There's, as you said, no formula. It's just really talent and desire and heart.
And I think the other thing is we have some great coaches like you two gentlemen and your brother and many, many other active coaches, you know, Mike Ackerman, Jim Tufts, et cetera. I think having great coaches, I think, is really helpful. So another observation, I'll turn it to you, Scott. So in kind of following it, when I look at your two teams, they play in a very assertive way, which is great. They play in a very talented way, but they're never dirty, and I love to see that. But it just seems like in general, as the players get bigger and there's more action, it seems like there's more clutching and grabbing. I don't know what, and I don't know if that's true or not. But can you, what's your observation?
Well, at Division I level, I think it's a bit more physical than maybe some of the lower levels. Division II, I mean, the top part of Division II can play right with Division I.
That's Hanover proved.
Yeah, Hanover Bow, and there's some teams in Division II that can definitely be right in the top half of Division I each year. And it becomes very physical. The game has gotten faster. The kids have gotten bigger. They've gotten smarter and trying to just, you know, do what they can to be successful. And sometimes that creates, you know, a lot of physical play.
Now, I know, Scott, many of your games are televised, but I hope we don't go to replay at the high school level because that's been taking too much time. I don't think they have it down pat yet. Another topic, and since you guys are coaches, you can comment on this objectively from 20,000 feet. It seems like we need to get more officials in the pipeline. I know when I occasionally, you know, watch a JV game, there's like one guy that literally stands at the 50-yard line and moves 3 feet and is calling a game. So do we need more referees in the pipeline, and how can we develop that?
Actually, one of our state newspapers last week, I can't remember if it was the Monitor or the Union Leader, had an article about basketball officials.
I saw that, yeah.
And so it's not just soccer. It's a lot of sports now that are short officials. And I know with soccer, coaches, like I've told a couple of guys, become a referee, you know, become a referee. If you're not coaching, you know the game, you know, you can make some money. And so it's not really just soccer, Tom, that's suffering. And it's slowly from 20, 25 years ago where, you know, there were enough. Down now that they're struggling.
And I think it's a great idea to have when your son or daughter is playing in a youth soccer. I know I had my twins, you know, referee games, you know, for kids at U8, you know, when they were 14 or something, just to get an, and that they actually learned the game. So, Scott, turning to you now as we close, looking ahead to your career, or looking ahead to this year, but your career, what has been the biggest change in Division I soccer, perhaps? There's so many more competitive teams, maybe?
Yeah, I think the top half of Division I has become really competitive. You know, in previous years, that you always had a top maybe four or six that would really be there each and every year. Now it seems that anywhere from 1 to 12. We won the state championship 2 years ago as a 7 seed, and we played Central that year, who was the 9 seed. So, you know.
I remember that. That was awesome, you know, following that.
Yeah.
And I love the way, I think, one final comment. I mean, these two gentlemen know about the importance of developing young men, and I know my son really is a fine young adult working person with a beautiful wife, and I credit George for a lot of that. So I know you guys know that that's the most important thing. So thank you for all you do for the youth.
All right. Thank you very
much.
Thank you.
And good luck. I hope to see you guys in the tournament, and we'll see you hopefully get to the final game, and we'll go from there. You're both in two different divisions, so I don't have to worry about you saying good luck to either one of you. All right. George and Scott, thank you for joining me this weekend.
Thank you very much for having us.
Tom Raffio, return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.